Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is August 17th. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing great. I remarked just a second ago, we got to save some of our discussion for the pod. I've been, as the esteemed producer of this wonderful show.
Esteemed is probably too strong a word.
Well, you know, some people like the low production value. Some people, don't like the low production value.
You know,
value.
If you don't like it, just don't, just go away. It's not changing. Don't tell us it needs to get better. Like a couple malcontents occasionally who are just so not with
well,
it.
We get it in the reviews too, you know.
Oh,
we get it in the reviews. We got live bots
reviews.
Coming in the reviews.
Live
you know?
Bots.
But anyways, you know, I was lamenting that I never know, you know, I look across, we have video of each other, we're, you know, while we're talking, and, you know, sometimes I look and you're talking and you're like 3 feet away from your mic because you're leaning back in your chair. And
I can't sit still. I like to bounce around the room.
Well, you're bouncing around right now, so people are getting different
in
levels of audio.
Well,
and, you know, you're making your producer look bad sometimes, you know?
I need a headset. I need a headset. So as I spin around in my chair and I bounce back and forth, like, you know, my I'm not moving away from the mic. It's moving with me. It'll be like a Freddy Kitchens with my little
yeah,
headset.
You're like a de-coordinator. If anybody has any good headset recommendations, maybe we'll get Brendan one. But we need one that, you know, plugs into a board. I don't even know. You know, I just know what I've used. So
yeah, well, we'll figure it out one day. Maybe we'll improve our production quality, or I'll stop bouncing around in my chair. We'll see. One or the other.
Might have to put the mic back in your hand. Take it out of the stand. No. That was a big innovation for you.
Yeah, innovation sometimes takes us in reverse, as we know. Innovation for the sake of innovation doesn't always make things better, and apparently it's hurt my audio quality.
Speaking
here
of innovation,
yeah.
Do you want to talk about this? This
the BMW PGA Championship
Tour.
Becoming no, a nationwide event across
no,
the country.
I was
going to
say
from
the PGA
Rockies
Tour.
To the,
hold on, I don't want to talk about that. All right,
I know you don't.
I don't want to talk about that yet. I was down in the city of Chicago. You could feel the energy level in the city was just a little low this morning when that got announced. But I wanted to talk more about what.
The
players meeting. This is reported by the Fire Pit. Alan Shipnuck of the Fire Pit got another log.
Quite dramatically.
Yeah.
threw a log on the... He threw a
might have,
Duraflame.
Might have put some lighter fluid all over the log before he tossed it into the fire to make it a little bit more dramatic.
He had, you know, what do you say, a banger? I think he characterized it as a banger, this players meeting. There'll be... It's Tiger showing up, which it seems that is confirmed by multiple reports to add, not that we doubted Alan, but his plane is in the air and other people have reported that he's coming. So that's part of it. Up for grabs or up for discussion is maybe Jay Monahan's ability to stay Jay Monahan commissioner. Maybe this is not a player advisory meeting in which Jay is part of. It's just 20 of the big names, the head honchos in the sport, the top rated players in the sport getting together to talk about getting on the same page. And I think, you know, sort of measure of how much they are on the same page will be how many leaks we hear out of this meeting. I was thinking about like what we'll get from this, because a lot of these meetings with the Saudis, or there's a PGL presentation or this, that, or the other, like one guy runs out of it and texts his favorite writer or journalist or friend or podcast or whoever it may be, and we quickly have some details of what went on in said meeting. You know, if this is sort of to solidify and unify, a sign of a bunch of leaks would maybe run counter to that. you know, if they just go and say, unless maybe it's the leak is we're all unified and everybody was on the same page, the hell with Liv. Maybe that's what the leak is. But we'll see what we hear from it. It sounds like everything's on the table, though.
Yeah, I think this is long overdue. If I'm one of those 20 guys, like you're talking landmark guys, when you see people defecting, I imagine the Cam Smith is kind of the tipping point, I think. Just because you've got a reigning major champion and everybody was like, oh, you know, they haven't gotten anybody that at the top of their game. And it's like, okay, you got the reigning players champion, the open champion, defecting while playing in the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Do you want to relay what we heard as regards to Cam Smith this week? It's pretty good. So interesting.
The rumored number was obviously 100 million, which when you see what other people are getting, you might be like, oh, that might be a little low.
He should be a bigger prize on the wall. Open champion, number two player in the world, Australian footprint, all that stuff.
So what I heard this week and these are really hard things to confirm, but was that he signed Monday of the Open Championship. So signed a deal before his Open Championship win, which probably is a little bit of a kick in the stomach.
Well, Bud Martin, the guy, not our favorite. He wasn't we weren't his favorite, Bud Martin, when we interviewed Cam Smith, but maybe not a great timing for that. Maybe it was. Who knows? Maybe you didn't want to leave it to chance.
Maybe he felt freed up because he had the deal in place.
That's true. That could be the case, too. But Cam Smith, you think, was sort of a tipping point. I guess I don't understand, like, substantively what this meeting can do. I saw a lot of people tweeting, like, this is a monumental day for the future of golf. This is a huge, like, what does this do? I don't necessarily know what they're going to vote on or say or do that, like, changes the course of anything other than say, like, maybe get a reaffirmation or a recommitment or fire Jay Monahan. Maybe they decide Jay needs to go. I don't know.
Yeah, but can 20 players do that?
Right. They can't.
And if they decide to do Davis Love's theory of, I was thinking about it.
Oh, the boycott.
Boycott.
He mentioned that.
I mean, the boycott is just the most absurdly stupid idea of all of them.
It's not a good idea. I guess I can understand how it comes to fruition with the golfers kind of getting in their feelings, thinking about, you know, or thinking they can tell the Masters how it's going to be or the US Open how it's going to be. Like, none of us are coming if you allow the Liv boys to play as well.
The problem is that these majors need to worry now about potentially getting lumped into a lawsuit.
Yeah.
And
on that,
you know, is it worth it? And you know, one way they could probably protect themselves is actually affording some sort of Liv exemption. That
last night there was an event in the Philadelphia area. Commissioner Monahan was there
with Mike Wan.
Mike Wan was there. Mike Wan called Liv the Icecapades, which is a derogatory term, sort of like a traveling circus. He's called them that before in the press, I believe, in August or last July. Interesting that they're appearing together in such a manner. But, you know, a boycott, yeah, I guess that seems really, really kind of counterproductive.
A random thought I had this morning was, what if this meeting overthrows Jay and then they put Davis Love in charge? And he's been doing the car wash just to get himself ready for PGA Tour commissioner.
So what do they need? What does they need as a commissioner? They need an attack dog? What do they need as a commissioner? I'm trying to understand. Like,
I'll tell you what. I think they need something different than Jay Monahan. Yeah. Who hasn't really done much of anything. And this is when we were playing last week. I think we were talking about this. I think you mentioned it. But his response here to this is really similar to that of COVID, where he kind of just refused to make a decision, and really his response was inaction. And he, you know, with the players, he just kind of let it hang in the balance when, you know, all these other sports leagues were making decisions. And obviously we can look back and decide whether it's, you know, if it was right or wrong. But like when in a kind of a time of urgency, his response was rather slow and lackluster.
Who was in the press recently saying we needed to be more proactive? I forget. That was somebody was talking about, like, we just sort of let it hang. I can't remember if it was someone who left or someone who's
Ricky.
Ricky. Yeah, I'm sorry.
This is what Ricky said. Adam Shupak is, he said, I've told the tour and Jay when I've met with them that I don't think they've handled it very well at all. A lot of the stuff that has happened in the last 6 months to a year is starting to happen. To me, they are reacting to it versus when the talks of the Premier Golf League and LIV came about is when they should have been proactive and gotten in front of it. And I completely agree with Ricky here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like just to assume they're going to rely on status quo so often or rely on messaging and branding and I guess loyalty seems to have been the strategy. I know we've talked about that ad nauseum, and we don't need to do it again here. But I guess I'm just trying to understand what are the substantive goals coming of this meeting? Is it just to get everyone to sign an oath to pledge their allegiance? How are they changing the course of what the future? Or are they just scared shitless about the guys that are going to leave as soon as the FedEx Cup is over?
I mean, it seems like the LIV strategy with Cam Smith and Leishman with the timing for that Boston event is just an all out assault. Like they've just been assaulting different aspects of the tour, and weak this one points. Is centered around the President's Cup. Like they're attempting to make a mockery of the international team for the President's Cup with some of these signings.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you make anything of Cam Smith? W. Dean with hip discomfort. Bob Martin had issued a short statement via the PGA Tour. Did Jay Monahan get his Jeff Galuli and take out Cam Smith? Did Cam Smith, is that his peace out? I don't need your stinking playoffs. Is this actually injured? A lot of theories.
Could have been
that.
Peer pressure. Could they have been like, hey, man, you know,
get the hell out of here.
Yeah, like, you're going to play for this. And meanwhile, you're showing up on those LIV golf memes, videos as like committed. That's the thing that's crazy is like LIV golf and Norman are pushing out these things that have Cam Smith in them as a LIV player, and he won't just say himself, yeah, I'm going, you know?
Right, right. It does feel like, you know, would he have had to go to this meeting? Would it have been uncomfortable for him to even be there the next week, 2 weeks? I don't know. I guess he's probably going to finish in the top 10 without playing. I'm not a FedEx mathematician. But
well,
I think
you just brought up a major issue of the FedEx Cup is that we have no clue what the implication of him not playing is on the FedEx Cup.
That's true. Is there anything
three
specific
in the standings? No clue. I don't know what's going to happen because he doesn't play.
Is there anything specific you want to see out of this meeting? Other, what do you expect Tiger to say? He's coming in with a case of Monster, flying up with a case of Monster, a bag of Funyuns, and going to tell everyone you need to get on board. I guess I just
I think
very
it's crazy.
Dramatic, exciting thing, but I don't know to what effect.
I think this is crazy to say this is what I would be satisfied with an outcome as, because like I don't think it's at all feasible, but they should try. Is they should take away FedEx Cup points from like almost every tournament that doesn't matter. Like there should be utter FedEx Cup reform coming out of this, and it's not for this. It's not like for 2 years from now, for next year. That is the only acceptable response. They don't have a year.
Yeah.
The enemy is, it's not at the gates. They're over the, they're in the meeting rooms. They have their own meetings going on
in
the global home. This is, they've taken over half the global home. And this is a, I mean, the other question, and I think this is obviously like I don't think this is a potential solution because of Greg Norman. And there's clearly
compromise.
Yeah, I mean, there's no compromise that can be done. And the time for compromising was months ago when the Liv didn't have any traction, when they were kind of like trying to convince guys to come over. That's when you could have compromised. And that's when Jay refused to take calls. And this is why he should be fired, you know? And I don't like calling for somebody's job. But like at the end of the day, I don't think you could, if you put down on paper everything Jay Monahan's done, I don't think you could come up with any reason for him to be around.
The net leaderboard, the reformation.
Like the other issue is like, how can Jay be your commissioner and you reform?
Yeah. You just need an outside thinker coming in and just overhauling.
Well, what's his messaging been the last 2 years?
Apparently the thing he said last night at this event was like, he's like 100% focused on what he can control. Like it's just like, blah. Like, what is that? What is that cliche? No, you need, and granted that may not be the forum for him to talk about his strategy, but still it just feels like there's not a lot of actual deterrence there and real sort of teeth into anything he's suggesting. But I don't know that it's getting dire. I don't know. It seems like it's escalated to the point where it's really personal on both sides. I don't know about the whole Scheffler walking through the line thing. You have guys poking the bear on both sides. And
I don't know really about that.
I agree with you. I thought that was really kind of overblown, and just could have been anything.
I mean, you start to
getting personal.
Some of the names that have been rumored with this, right? You know, Cam Young, and obviously that's been contested. Like that's a big blow to the tour. Hideki. That's gonna be the rookie of the year, Hideki. Like, you know, in this most recent tranche, when you add in who they already have, it is, I think it's getting somewhat dire. You know, in the sense of, if we lose these guys, you know, it's seemingly the more the time goes on, the more guys they're going to continue to get.
I think the splintering is bad for the game. It's terrible. Like, it's going to make two watered down product. Two, unless someone, you know, really truly wins out and takes everybody. I don't know that that's going to happen. But I do think we're headed for more of a splintered, watered down event.
That's
but right now.
It's
like just a bonanza right now. Who knew Taylor Gooch could be interesting? He's been fascinating. Like this interesting doofus from the start. Cameron Percy out there just lobbing grenades at Bubba Watson. About will he pray for this woman who's being incarcerated in Saudi Arabia? Cameron Percy? It's making all these sort of creative player guys like interesting. We have this player meeting and Tiger walking in like, you know, all these memes and stuff. It is the if they're an entertainment product, which is what they say they, you know, sometimes want to be. I don't know. Other times they're ultimate prize competition. Like they should be streaming this players meeting, right? They should be doing all this stuff. Lean into golf being more popular than ever, maybe not for like all the reasons they want, but lean into it.
Yeah. I mean, it's
Cameron Percy,
people are quite enamored with this, and it's what would be a comp. I mean, like one of the things I've thought about is like the ban.
Yeah,
like they didn't have to do it. Also, because which one of those guys was going to play all the live events and then satisfy the PGA Tour starts minimum?
Right.
Like long term, like those guys were going to lose their status on tour because of that. They could have suspended them, you know, via that. Like this is where the, you know, the idiocy of it is like, you now are just losing these guys and it's like, you didn't even have to lose them.
Right. I lost you there for a minute. That's production quality. I think that's just my Comcast internet. Did you see Justin Thomas tweeting about his accomplishment? Hashtag Comcast Business Tour Top 10. Another year. I wonder what the mandate was for that. Everybody needs to tweet hashtag Comcast Business Tour Top 10. But either way,
HQ
I missed your whole
tweeting
point.
It's okay.
Just your whole point about the ban.
It wasn't that important. I just said, why didn't they just rely on the minimum starts for next
year? I heard that.
Like nobody's going to make 29 starts. Maybe Patrick Reed, but that's it.
All right, we'll get to schedule for the week here. Talk a little USC amateur. But first, we are Shotgun Start. This week is brought to you by friends at BeDratty, longtime friends of the program, really from our earliest nascent days as the Shotgun Start, certainly as the Fried Egg. They've been with us forever, whether it's through Summit, you know, Zero Restriction or BeDratty. And now, sort of a nice little synergy with USC Amateur Week, they have just launched their collegiate collection at BeDratty.com. They have licenses. They're launching with 18 schools. I'll read them off. A lot of SEC schools. Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn, BC, Boston College.
Look at that.
Billy's alma mater and also my alma mater. I think it's probably just in there because it's an incredibly popular, large mainstay in NCAA sports. That's why they're in there with, you know, Alabama,
Auburn. They might not have a conference soon.
Oh, shut up. Boston College, Clemson, Florida, Florida State, LSU, Michigan State, Ole Miss, TCU, Tennessee, Texas A&M, South Carolina, Vandy, and Virginia Tech. So they have some of their, you know, their classic apparel or, I don't know, it's a lot of like Russell crew necks, the Liam Polar, which is their most popular, some quarter zips with some of those schools, and they're kind of adding weekly. So they're
I
adding
need to
more
figure out what
weekly.
I need to do to get Illinois added to this.
Well, they've got tailgate season coming. A lot of it's some of it's like lawn sleeves. You know, I would recommend looking it out, checking it out at BeDratty.com to get more of their collegiate collection. Lawn time. Oh, and use SGS25. You get 25% off. That's a good chunk of change off that purchase when you add that up in the cart. Use the SGS25. I will just say Auburn and Ole Miss looked like they had the best collections. I went through the whole thing, but they have some good stuff in there.
I feel like Ole Miss's logo works well on
Which
anything.
Which one? The script?
Yeah, thing? The script.
Yeah. They've got a lot of colors. Like it's navy and it's, you know, baby powder blue. They can mix and match. But all right. So go to BeDratty.com. Use promo code SGS25 for anything there. I've got another good plug for Dratty, but I'll save that one for Friday. My wife is demanding a pair of their shorts. I was like, they don't make them in your size, but we'll talk about that on Friday. Rarely does my wife compliment my clothes, but she's big on these Dratty shorts I got. All right, moving on to schedule for the week. Let's lead off with the U.S. Amateur, which will be on TV or streaming, whatever you want to call it, starting on Wednesday.
Wait, you didn't want to talk about the abandonment of Chicago?
We'll get to that in news. We'll do that in news. Nobody's being abandoned in Chicago. It's just doesn't have enough good golf courses to host a PGA Tour event, apparently. Schedule for the week. U.S. Amateur will be in the round of 64 on Wednesday on Peacock, 3 to 4 p.m. for an hour? For an hour?
So
and then 4
absurd.
To 6. On Peacock. There's 64 matches and it's on for an hour on Peacock. Or not 64, 32 matches. Well, and
think about this. If you're watching on Peacock, you literally have to change apps on your TV to then go to Golf Channel.
Peacock. It stays on Peacock.
Oh, you
for
can
then
just stay
four
there?
To six. Yeah, four to
okay.
six.
Okay. At least
doesn't
you can
come
do
to
that.
Golf Channel until 4 to 6. Then it's on, you know, this sort of mishmash maze of, I don't know, 11 to noon on Thursday, then noon to 2. It's just like a mix of Peacock and Golf Channel.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you were, you know, at the USGA and in charge of this relationship, you know, Fox obviously bought the rights. Then NBC and Golf Channel buys them on cents in the dollar. And the way that they have kind of treated USGA championships since, would you be happy with the way the coverage has been laid out?
It's I think it's exactly what they didn't want. As I understood it, like when this handoff happened and like why they liked Fox or why they didn't like Fox, parts of they want to be like the main show. They want to be prioritized here. And that's across the board. That's not with the U.S. Open. It's not just U.S. Open. And like NBC, like I'll, you know, I'm not sure people do golf as well as NBC. Anyone does golf better than NBC from the main networks? But like, they have too much stuff. And I was going to get to that here in a second with schedule for the week. They have too much stuff. They have too many rights. And I think if I'm the USGA, I'm not, as I understood it from industry insiders, I'll use that, you know, generic, stupid term. Like when this handoff, they weren't crazy about being passed off from Fox to NBC because they were worried about, you know, wanting to be the main show, like wanting to have their own guys. And they're kind of being like an hour on Peacock here.
I was disappointed not to see it show pop up on USA or CNBC, two great, great golf channels.
Well, the problem here is the Sunday final is now on Golf Channel and Peacock, while the BMW Championship is on NBC because they have their tour. So the PGA Tour playoffs will bump the USA Amateur Final to non-network, to cable, to Golf Channel. And I would think they're probably not crazy about that. If you were to,
historic tournament in American golf.
Reading between guessing
being bumped.
Here. Yeah, I'm just guessing that the finals of the FedEx Cup playoffs getting that network coverage while the USA finals bumped.
Here's the thing: there could have been a good debate if it was the Western Open versus the USAM.
You would have accepted that as what should take NBC priority?
Well, it could have been a debate. You could have debated it, but right. The Western Open has been decapitated by the PGA Tour.
Well, while we're just before, put a bow on this NBC and schedule for the week then. So what we have here is we have only one NBC. It has to choose between BMW. Then like throughout the week, we've got the Dick's Sporting Goods Open on the Champions Tour. That's at Enjoy, Endicott, New York. That's on from like 1:15 to 3:15, but it's tape delayed showing on Golf Channel from 8 to 10. So it's tape delayed showed on TV. Meanwhile, the Albertsons Boise Open, which is the Korn Ferry Tour playoffs, is actually being streamed from 6 to 8, but that's then being shown tape delayed from 10 to midnight on Friday. So you end up with, like, they've got too much stuff. So you end up with two multiple tape delayed TV shows. You have conflicts between the BMW and the USA Amateur. I think you just got to spread it around a little more.
Well, and what's going to happen when, you know, there's been some rumors that NBC is really, you know, might be keen to shutter Golf Channel. What happens with all these rights then? Does everything just go to Peacock?
Or USA? I know, probably not USA. People want their SVU and things of that nature there, Law and Order. I don't know. I don't know, but they have a shit ton of golf rights. And now we are ending up this week, and I'm not saying people need live Dick's Sporting Goods Open live coverage. Can't have that.
The Korn Ferry Finals is great, though.
So now it's on from 8 to 10 tape delay on Thursday, 10 to midnight tape delay on Friday, 9 to 11 tape delay on Saturday, and 8 to 10 tape delay on Sunday. Like, we'll know who's won or what the leaders are. You know, we'll have results. Anyways, it just feels like a miss, and it's just a little too crowded for one network. That's your schedule for the week. That's sort of more of an overhead look at it. Oh, and I neglected to mention we have the D&D Real Czech Masters on the DP World Tour, the Thomas Peters Invitational, as it's otherwise known.
Thank God the women are off.
Right? That's the other thing. They don't even have an LPGA event. I was looking at it. It's too much stuff. But let's talk about the end of the week, which is the USA Amateur starting Wednesday on Peacock. It's already, of course, 2 days into...
We're tracking right now. Play. We got Andrew Von Lasso. He's 2 under. Making a push for match play.
T-shirt. One of our favorites. We have several friends in the
field.
He's
the National Hickory Open champion.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I think he won the National Hickory Open last year.
What? This guy's like a modern day Renaissance man. He's a Michelangelo. He makes Gold Boy t-shirts. He plays hickories with great skill. He's in the USA Amateur. Who knows what he does, like, for actual, you know, his real day job? I have no idea. What a Renaissance man this guy is. Andrew Van Lasso, T31 right now.
So we're pulling for him. I mean, there's some other names in here that, you know, Michael Thorbjornsson looks to be headed to match play. That's obviously a big name. Luke Gutschewski might be the medalist.
That can't be how you pronounce it. Isn't
well,
it?
I know it's not, but it, I think we Gutschewski is the son of the Scott Gutschewski, who earned his famously earned his tour card last year, I believe, at Corn Ferry Finals or maybe the Pinnacle Bank. I can't remember either the last event of the season or the Corn Ferry Finals in dramatic fashion. And, you know, he was 41 years old or whatever, getting his tour card. So his son is it looks like he might be the medalist. And I think he's like a freshman or something at Nebraska.
Iowa State, I think.
Iowa State.
Husky boys. Burley boys. Father and son Burley boys. Luke. Exceptional players, father and son. Iowa State, I think.
Hugo Townsend, who's carrying, I wonder if he's carrying his bag again. I think we'll have to wait till match play to see that, because he was carrying his bag last year.
He abandoned Boise State. He's now at Ole Miss.
Well, he moved on up, you know. He wanted to get that B. Dratty college collection.
He found out Dratty didn't have a Boise license, so he went to Ole Miss. All right.
Illini, Adrian Dumont Deschart. Uh-huh. I don't think that's how you pronounce his last name.
Deschart. That can't be right. He was at Brookline.
Deschart. I don't know. It's another Belgian Illini. They got so many of them. He's looking good. And then you got Michael Vick's brother, Travis.
So bad. There's a lot of good names in this.
Gordon line. Sargent. The NCAA champ. Yeah,
Vandy hits the hell out of the ball from Vandy.
Big, you know, Stu. Stu's in the mix.
Yeah.
Grabalchek or Grabalchek?
Are you just reading the leaderboard at this point?
No, that kid was in the Final Four.
I know.
He was super impressive.
I know
Nick
the name.
Grabalchek.
Grabalchek. He was at the NCAAs, too. Played well, I believe.
Yeah. Castillo.
Tough times on Westy Island continue. I don't know if you saw that.
What happened?
T-294. There's an individual named Westy McCabe. The guy's name is Westy. Fortunately, Westy, you know, is in line with how things have gone on Westy Island this year. Westy McCabe is 21 over, but he made it nonetheless. He's in the field. That's just a list of a start of the name. You know, Jet Tickle. You got Maverick. You have six Jacksons in the field, six Carsons, Davis Womble. There's a bunch of good names.
What about Ford Clegg? Clegg?
Daniel Boone's out there on the Great Frontier chopping away to whatever he's at, a T221 at 13 over. But yeah, there's a lot of good names, and that's always a fun thing to do at the USAM. I made a list of 20 or so. I'm not going to read them all off.
Liv Boy there. Puig is right on the cut line. David Puig, Liv defector that's retained his amateur status. I want to know how that works. I was on a pod, the Thai podcast with former Stanford golfer, Henry Schimpf. And he was saying he's not really sure how it works with NIL, but he was saying that they might be deferring stuff like into a pension for him, like deferring earnings that he gets when he turns professional.
You know, I saw a tweet from Dan Kilbridge, former writer at Golf Week. Now he writes for like a betting site. I want to say it's bookies.com. And he tweeted over this live tweet about the driving distances. And this is someone who's in the gambling world, right? It's bookies. Yeah. He goes, serious question. Cause they did driving distance, longest average.
So they had Bryson on it.
Yeah. Bryson doing Bryson things was the live tweet. He goes, serious question. Are live golf stats publicly available anywhere? Reliable data, ped testing, and know if players are competing to win $4 million or net $0 against their bank, you know, their upfront money, are all huge for bookmakers and overall betting interest. It's unclear on all three at the moment. Now ped testing's unclear on the PGA Tour too, but and club testing.
Do you think they have pretty rigorous club testing and PED testing there?
I would guess not. I don't think Cam Smith would get a penalty for being on the hazard line, which, by the way, we had a superintendent friends say the line was a lazy ass paint job. There was way too much room between the actual wall and water and the paint. But yes, it's a good point. You know, when you talk
great,
about the
great
the
point
pension,
about the lazy line,
the paint job in Memphis. But anyways, that what you were just talking about.
You imagine, I could just see a guy out there painting lines. It's like 95 degrees, and he's like, "What the hell am I doing out here right now?"
You know how you get dizzy when you're like weeding? Your head's like the blood's rushing to your head. You're bent over. So like, he's probably got up towards the green. He's been doing this line for 60 yards, and he got a little wobbly, went a little too far afield. Who knows how that happened? Anyways, that you were just talking about Puig's pension. I saw that tweet earlier today. I thought there is really not a lot of reliable data on what they're playing for or what, you know, how they're playing in terms of distance or strokes gained or things like that. Elsewhere in the amateur, this from Brentley Romine, who sent us a long list of themed groups. I would just say there's the three wise men. There's Parker Wisdom, Blake Wisdom, and Joey Wiseman. There's multiple kids in here with the last name Wisdom. How in the hell does that happen? I expect a lot of Jacksons related? And Carsons. No! I discovered this on my own earlier. I was like, oh, well, they got to be brother and sister. One's from a brother and brother, and one's from, like, they're from different states. Maybe they're related. But I think they're from different parts of the country and not related. Parker and Blake Wisdom, nevertheless. Anything else on the... on the USAM, give us a little Ridgeman.
Yeah, one other thing, Tommy Cool. You know where Tommy Cool plays his golf?
Who?
Tommy Cool.
Who's that? Tommy Morrison, the big boy, 6'10".
Tommy Cool. Looks like he's going to make the cut. Do you know where he plays his golf?
Illinois, I assume.
Yep.
What's his actual last name?
Cool, K-U-H-L.
Oh, I thought you were just... Oh, God.
Tommy Cool.
I thought his name was like Tom, you know, something or other, and you're just shortening it to Tommy Cool.
That's his legit name.
Oh, it is. It is his legit name.
His brother played at Wisconsin too.
I see.
There's a couple, you know, Illinois standouts from their junior and amateur days. Ridgewood, the host site.
Yeah.
AW Tillinghast in Paramus, New Jersey, just across the bridge from New York City. So you might get some. You might
get
some.
That sounds like a geographic exaggeration. Just across the bridge.
Well, when I was there, I drove across the bridge or the tunnel. The tunnel.
Okay.
I went through the tunnel and went to MSG that night, so it wasn't far.
I've played there. Yeah.
It took me 45 minutes in rush hour, so it can't be very far. Okay. You know.
Yeah.
But really good golf course, AW Tillinghast. I feel like this is like one of the forgotten, really good championship venues in the Northeast, and it's just like an embarrassment of riches up there, right? You know,
sure.
This golf course, it's got 3 9-hole holes, 9-hole courses. One of the unique things, like you always think about like the courses that have 27 holes and usually that added ninth is kind of a little bit of an afterthought, right? Like if you use the country club at Brookline, for example, like sure, they used a couple holes from the Primrose Nine, but the Primrose is kind of just like, oh, that's that. And the Clyde Squirrel is the one. And similarly, like Huntington Valley in Philadelphia, like really great 18-hole championship course, but then that other nine is kind of like, oh, that's where the junior golf, where we stick the junior golfers, and we do, you know, some people go play there, but it's usually way less busy than but this golf course, like all three nines are really, really good. Like I would, you know, you'd have a hard time figuring out what your favorite of them is. You know, I think it's like one of those situations where it's pretty acceptable for any of them to be your favorite. In terms of the golf course, it doesn't have like the crazy Tillinghast greens that you see at Wingfoot. They're a little bit more subdued, but they have a lot of back to front slope. They kind of like, they have the slope that matches the contours. As the name suggests, there is a big ridge on property. And most holes play up into it or off it, or in a few play along it. And those, like when you're playing down, a lot of the greens there run away. You know, it's a really neat golf course. The hole that is going to be Catnip Central is the 12th.
We're putting a video out on that.
Yeah, we're contributing to the Catnip.
Yeah, You got you went for the catnip.
Rude I did. You. I figured I'd just I don't know how many outlets have video footage of the catnip. So I figured we'd do it. But it is a really cool short par four. It's really, in actuality, a long par three. Everybody's gonna go for it. Nobody's gonna lay up. But the neat thing about it is the 12th hole. It's a pivotal hole in matches. You're gonna get there for the most part, unless you're just getting completely boat raced. And it's like one of those holes where you feel like you have to make a birdie, and if you don't, you're gonna just see that pressure play out where whoever's hitting first, like if they hit a good shot, it's gonna be like, you know, it's just like one of those. It's just this long, narrow green, tiny green, big bunkers around it, sits on a ridge, and you know, Rory hit it four times, which is
Insane. I watched their video that you made. We'll have out on the Friday. The green is absurd. It'd be hard to hit from four times from, I don't know, 200 yards, it feels like, let alone almost 300.
I think like you could probably give like I think the success rate of hitting it four times with a wedge from 80 yards, like for, I think there'd be only like, you know, 12 to 15 guys in a 144 player field if you gave them four attempts with a wedge that hit it every time.
Which is why it doesn't make sense to lay up.
Yeah. Probably,
right?
Exactly. And it's 284. It's so short that everybody could get there that it just seems silly not to go for it. But we'll see how it goes. That's a really fun hole to watch. It's a neat course.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be we'll have plenty more to talk about on Friday. They'll be into whatever it is, round of 16, I guess, Friday or Thursday night when we're talking. All right. Before we forget,
Cohen Trolio. I haven't seen that name in a while.
Cohen. Yeah. He's on the all name team I created.
Remember? Yeah, he was the
North South, right? Or
Pinehurst. USAM when he was in high school.
Yep.
Do you think Chris Francoeur is related to the baseball player?
I don't know.
Was it Jeff Francoeur?
Yeah, I wondered. I looked at that earlier and had the same stupid idea in my head. And I wasn't going to bring it up, but here you are. You've done it. There's apparently like multiple, Atlanta Braves related players, or could be, according to Brentley. While we're on the subject, or not.
Charlie Ryder in the mix.
I saw that U.S. Open player. We watched him hit bombs at
I said this on the tie. One of my favorite moments of the year was watching Luke Kerdanine discover Charlie Ryder.
Oh my god, there's video of Tiger getting off the plane, and it's just a looks like a flannel shirt from Eddie Bauer of some sort and baggy jeans. Like, it's gotta be 100 degrees in Delaware right now. And honestly,
he's coming from Florida too.
This big chunky plaid shirt and jeans. Looks like Ricky's in the car with him. Oh my god. What an outfit. Really. Looks like something you get at Christmas from.
Why is Ricky among the 20 players?
I don't know, but you agreed with them. He's got some real takes, at least, on Jay needs to go, or Jay's not been great. Messed it up. All right, while we're back on the subject of pro golf, we didn't do one and dones. I should say...
we got Wilmington Country Club. What do you have to say about Wilmington Country Club? Are you excited? You excited to see it?
Sure. I think, you know, it's a different part of the state, a different part of the country. I'm not sure it should have the old Western Open in it. We got a tip, I want to say, like 2 years ago, that the members wanted to spend millions and millions of dollars to Bryson-proof their course because they were terrified of low scores. That did not happen. But they're just kind of acceding, you know, expecting low scores. They had a horrible storm come through and had to have much of work done. I think Andrew Green did work. I know the tour like demanded all these requirements. We have Will Knights has some pictures of them requesting greens be taken in, pinched in, actually, not pushed out, but taken down. So they did have to do some work to quote unquote meet tour requirements. But other than that, I don't have a lot on Wilmington. Do you have a lot of Wilmington?
I don't have a ton.
I think it's a Bob Trent Jones original, something or other in the 60s. This comes from a Delaware source. Myself and pretty much everyone I know from Wilmington are in agreement. We love our hometown, but are, quote, very aware Delaware is Delaware for a reason. No confusing the city with places of grandeur elsewhere. As a Clevelander, I love a little, you know, under self-deprecation, understanding and appreciating where you come from. People are always kind of surprised anyone moves there. Again, great place, though. So this Tiger Live BMW thing happening in bold Wilmington freaking Delaware is kind of a lot for us to handle and too funny. So it'll be good. It's fine. That gets us to our larger point. Actually, before we forget, one and done's. Who do you have this week? I know I have. I was told I'm in 162nd out of 170 today. But you know what? No one's going home with more studs in the stable than I do. I've got a bunch of guys left, and that's all I'll be able to hang my head on that.
Listen,
if Jerry Kelly left. I don't.
If this was a 47-week season like the PGA Tour would want this one and done league to be, you'd be in great shape.
I'd be in great shape. I've got Rahm, Morikawa, Fitzy, Finau. Got everybody.
And by one league, it resets. This league does not reset. So last week I had Tom Kim. I don't have many big names. And this week I'm going to go with a hot hand. I'm taking Adam Scott. He's playing really good golf. Yes. You know, the one nice thing about not having any big names left is, you know, you're going to be unique. People aren't going to zig your way. They've saved people for this very reason. In my other league, I'm going to go with a bomber. I think this is going to be a good course for long hitters.
I'm going to take John Rahm just because I think I have to use John Rahm. Might not be a great spot to use him, even though he is a big hitter. Actually, you know what? I'm going to take Finau. I'm going to just take Finau. Big hitter, hot, obviously, over the last month. I'll take Tony Finau. Feature groups real quick while we're on it. These are twosomes. Thank God they're twosomes. I actually, you know what? We don't need to do feature groups. The hell with it. So as we were saying, this is in Wilmington, which means this BMW championship, formerly the Western Open, will be, and I love this. I love where I live, this tiny part of the country, the swath of about 2 hours of Maryland and Delaware, Caves Valley, Wilmington, and then Caves Valley again, three times in, 4 years, I want to say, 21, 22, and 25. This little mid-Atlantic two-hour stretch of Delaware and Maryland will have hosted the formerly Western Open three times. It is also returning to Belrive in 2026. So we are going to go Caves Valley, Wilmington, Olympia Fields, Castle Pines,
Denver,
Caves Valley again, and Belrive. So Chicago once, I think in seven, one time in 6 or 7 years in Chicago, with three times in the mid-Atlantic and a Colorado and St. Louis thrown in there. That's the news today as it was announced. Caves Valley and Belrive are hosting in 25 and 26. I wrote about this for the Fried Egg newsletter. You can read it there. I don't want to double up on that, but I don't know. I don't know what the tour wants from their playoffs. Do they want it to be the ultimate prize? Do they just want to go to big markets or not big, you know, markets where they haven't been and have put on a good show? I would say the way Baltimore showed out last year, the way that St. Louis showed out at the PGA, whatever that was, 2018, would make it an attractive place to host a PGA Tour event. I think those people should have a PGA Tour event, the party and the atmosphere it created. Now, do I think it should be this Western Open when it's so neglecting Chicago so often? No, I don't. And obviously you're the Chicagoan, so I'll let you respond. I wonder if Chicago's a good enough golf town, good enough sports town to have a PGA Tour event. Maybe they don't deserve it. You just got to go to Colorado and
Just need Cialis, the male enhancement drug, to pony up and buy us a new tournament.
Here's a serious question. What Chicago venue wants to have this regularly, like every year? That was a problem around here.
There's three venues that want it. They have Olympia Fields, Medina, and Conway.
Conway.
You've got three venues. You could rotate them. Like, and they all hit different parts of the city. That's the important thing, right? It's like Olympia Fields is not very convenient for anybody that lives on the north side of Chicagoland. Medina's pretty central to everybody. You know, Conway's not really convenient for anybody that's really far west or south. You know,
what's Rich Harvest Farms convenient for?
Nobody. No one.
That's the live spot. All right.
I mean, right. Like I said, my in-laws live about as close as you could get to Rich Harvest Farms. It's still 30 minutes away. but anyways, like, I guess, like, I obviously have childhood memories of the Western Open. It's the tournament that I went to early on, you know, in my life, and is part of the reason that I'm really into golf. And one of the things that sucks about it is that you went from having, outside of major championships, like legitimately one of the best tournaments of the year. You had
Could have been a Riviera.
Exactly. You have like a Riviera tournament. And Tiger showed up every year, you know? And now you don't even have a tournament. And you're this major market. You're one of the cities that founded golf in the country, and you don't have a golf tournament here.
PGA Tour event.
We don't have an LPGA Tour tournament. We don't have a senior tournament. We have a web.com. We have a Korn Ferry event every year. And now we have a live tournament. Thank God. Got somebody that's paying Jerry Rich a bunch of money so his kids don't just bulldoze the course whenever he leaves. But anyways, you know, I think like the thing that really frustrates me the most, and you know, if you look at what Jay Monahan has been preaching about the tour and why players shouldn't go to live, is because of the history. And yeah. You know, we have all this great history. You get to play the greats, and you know, to me, the tour is just talking out of both sides of his mouth, and it's really disingenuous as a Chicagoland golf fan. Like, this is without me being a podcast host, without me, you know, just in terms of looking at it blank, black and white as a Chicago golf fan, is, you know, you want to talk about history and look at what you've done to a tournament that had more history than your entire frickin' tour. You know, this was one time considered a major championship, and look what you've done to it. You have removed it from the city that started it, that its entire identity centered around, and you have now made it this like part of your playoffs. It has no, like, you know, that it just is sad. It's really sucks. And, you know, it just makes me upset. And now it's a Mid-Atlantic golf tournament that sometimes comes to Chicago, and it's just pathetic. It's just such a joke. It's I'm glad that there are 6 events in Texas and 5 events in Florida and none in Chicago. It's really great. It's great for golf. You want to talk about growing the game, you want to talk about history, and the arguably the most historic golf city in the country, you don't come to with a regular event, and you also drop a nuclear bomb on their tournament that they started. That's the identity of the city.
Yeah, it's been co-opted completely, whether that's by BMW, the FedEx Cup playoffs, all these things combined. And, to be fair, though, it's hard to resist the allure of St. Louis and Baltimore in mid-August. You know, it's just a great time to go to a place like, we saw Bellevue.
You know what the weather is?
Keep its greens alive at the PGA.
It's Chicago in the August could be tough.
Right. No, it's not great anywhere, but
this week is like 80 and sunny. It's been 80 and sunny all week, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll change.
I mean, Baltimore was brutal last year. I live here. I like it. I'm not, but it's just, I don't know. Mid-August isn't the time I necessarily would want to go to those.
Leaving for a weekend wedding in Cincinnati, another great place to be in August.
Just a furnace. All right. Well, that does it for news. That does it for BMW. I think we hit on pretty much everything. Well, if we didn't, we'll talk about it on Friday. All right. Everyone, enjoy your Wednesdays. We'll catch up with you then.